This is Singularity, a sacred scripture study. You are listening to episode 28. Today we cover part 3 of chapter 4 in A Course of Miracles. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us for season 2 as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just as the course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others. This one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Now the journey in discovering our truths starts right now. Here we go. Welcome back, Miracle Makers. I sure hope you had a great week and a fantastic holiday. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the last episode, I at least hope you had a chance to read through the text yourself. My intention in reading The Course in Miracles is to help shed a little light as I share with you the truths I've uncovered from my studies. Now, with that said, let's begin part 3 of chapter 4, Love Without Conflict. Paragraph 1. What does the kingdom of heaven is within you really mean? It's hard for us to know because we are looking for answers through ego, but ego exists within time and space, and ego sees a space that holds us, and a space that is within us, and a space that is outside of us. So from ego's perspective, the kingdom of heaven exists in its own space outside of us, and we must find a way to get it, or to get what is outside of us, inside of us. When really the kingdom of heaven is the space that we are. We are the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is us. God created only this. We are one. This is the wholeness message. The whole message says that when the awareness of the all is finally whole, what happens when our individual concepts dissolve into the connected concept, we become the one mind. The one mind is far more capable of greater things than billions of individual mini minds. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the meaning of the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. What does the Course mean by the sum is greater than its parts? The whole isn't just a bunch of parts put together. It's more than that. When all the parts share the common intention of willingness to come together and be truly helpful to not just itself, but to the whole, something powerful takes place. Something more happens than just the coming together. When we are completely whole with everything, the wholeness takes on an intention and function of its own. The intention and function are powerful beyond measure. What the whole is capable of doing is far greater than adding together what each part is capable of doing on its own. The greatest power of a part is to be willing to make its function about becoming whole. Because it's only when the part becomes part of the whole is when it is able to experience the greatest value of its efforts. An example is the human body. The human body is made up of different types of cells, each carrying out a specific function. A group of cells form a tissue. The cells of the tissue all carry out the same function. So two or more now types of tissues working together make up an organ. And then several organs performing together to perform the same function make up a system. These systems each have a specific job within our bodies. Now these systems working together make up the human body. They are what makes the body a living, working system. But what makes the whole, greater than just all the parts added together, is the function and the intention of the whole. It's limitless, meaning within this sum of the parts is the capability to multiply within and without itself indefinitely. Though the parts have limits on an individual level, the whole they make up is infinite. The question is, do we want to just float around being a part only? Or do we want to give up the idea of me to become a part of what makes up something much greater? To try and sum it up into a couple of sentences, what waits on the other side of the entire sonship coming together is far greater than the results of everything combined. Once the awareness of everything forms into the one, This whole takes on the power, intention, function, and infinite life of not only every individual part, but also one of its own. Going back to the text, the Course tells us that we have a kingdom we've created. Just because we've been under the illusion of ego doesn't mean that we haven't created, and everything created has a creator. Ego and spirit will never create together. However, spirit and the creator will always create together. We know with certainty that as God's creations, we are safe. And with just the same certainty, we can know our creations are also safe. Here is a prayer to align ourselves with this certainty. The kingdom is perfectly united and perfectly protected, and the ego will not prevail against it. Amen. This prayer is basically saying the ego will never be able to cause any harm to the whole. Paragraph 2. Let's talk about prayer. This was written in the form of a prayer because practice prayer establishes an intention of its own. It sets a mood or a mindset almost instantly, which comes in handy when we find ourselves in those first few seconds of making a choice as to which mindset will occupy the moments we experience. When prayers are said with feeling and meaning, the intention behind the feeling and meaning that we're having is put into motion. And when we practice the right intention while repeating this prayer, we will build power behind it that we can easily access. So when we start to feel ego's impulses urging us to form an ego thought, we say this prayer, or any like it. A prayer is a structured statement said to clearly state our true intention. This one in particular is one of being free from the control or influence of ego. Prayers are an amazing tool. When we have a set of words or write our own set of words and really understand the feeling and intention behind each and every part of the prayer, they can be very, very helpful, very powerful. So I think it's important for us to take a minute to break down this prayer the Course has given us, which again reads, "The kingdom is perfectly united and perfectly protected, and the ego will not prevail against it." Amen. The kingdom. The kingdom is where all that is, or God, dwells. For us, that's our mind. So the first line would read, "My mind is perfectly united and perfectly protected." Or said even clearer, "My mind is perfectly whole and can never be harmed." The ego. The ego is a mindset. And as we know now from our studies, it's a mindset that believes it's separate, that it's not whole, and danger is lurking within every inch of the darkness within this separation. So the prayer is us declaring this mind will not be ran by the ego. Amen. Saying amen is the same as saying, "And so it is." Amen carries with it centuries of intention, power, and love behind its meaning. So when we say it behind a prayer, we send it out with not just our love, power, and intention, but also the love, power, and intention of all those who have sent it out before us. That's pretty powerful. And a prayer said and practiced enough times also carries its own power and intention. This is why prayer or meditations are an important tool for the Course to show us. The workbook is full of these prayers or meditations or affirmations, however you want to say it. And the Course does that by giving us our understanding here in the text. And then with the workbook, we go and we practice our mind from this understanding. Now, the Course has told us understanding this prayer will make it very useful for us. So what is our understanding now? What are we really asking or declaring when we say this prayer? We are declaring, "My mind is whole and safe, and thoughts that say otherwise will not enter my mind. And so it is." When we choose ego's mindset to control or influence, we've denied our own truth to guide us and influence us. This is why we need guidance and help from Jesus, whose role is to make our truth clear to us. As our truth becomes more and more apparent and easier for us to recognize, we can start to break down ego's illusions. We will begin to see things with a clear mind. There is no question that working with this guidance will break through ego's illusions. Paragraph 3. It's starting to become very clear why ego sees spirit as its enemy. Ego comes from our belief in separation. So ego, relying solely on our belief in the separation to even exist, convinces us we're getting something from it, so that we'll keep it around. But the truth is, we aren't getting anything from ego. In fact, everything ego offers us is temporary. So ego puts all effort into keeping us convinced that this temporary existence is ours, that our existence is also temporary, when really, it's only ego that's temporary. But by convincing us that we are one and the same, ego is able to use our power as its own. While ego is working to keep us thinking that we are temporary, spirit within us knows we are eternal. The Course tells us, when we finally uncover this truth from spirit, we can never fully believe in the ego again. It's just crazy to think that those temporary benefits that we think that we're getting from ego are somehow winning over these incredible gifts of God. Paragraph 4. If we're identifying as ego, or if our belief is an ego's illusion, what this really means is that our most basic belief has to be that our Creator doesn't love us. And if we believe this is possible, then wouldn't it be possible to not love what we've made? Or to have what we've made not love us either? Because what we make, the illusion, the ego, are all only possible if we're denying our Father. And the way it's designed is anything made or created carries the intention it was made or created from. So when we make anything from a place of disloyalty to our Creator, what we make is incapable of loyalty, especially for its maker. This relationship between the maker and the made can never even begin to understand the love that the Creator has for His creations, because the intention behind what was made lacked love, and can never carry the intention of love because of it. We have so much bitterness toward ego, but it was our idea of separation that made ego. This bitterness, this hatred even, conflicts with the love that we have for the things that we make. So now this love-hate confusion infuses into everything. Now, everything we've made in this world carries this love-hate conflict within its intention. Since ego can never experience love without this conflict attached to it, ego can't even possibly begin to understand a love without conflict. The good news? Any mind that wants to know love and wants to know it without conflict will. It's important to mention that the wanting here isn't a want from a need. Paragraph 5. The Course tells us that there's an experience we've yet to have that's far different than anything we've ever experienced in ego, and that once we have it, we will never want to hide or cover it again. The reason we haven't had this experience yet, it's the same reason that we've been told multiple times so far in our studies. It's because of our desire to deny our truth and then continue to hide in the darkness of ignorance. The truth is, we have endless gifts. All sacred texts tell us this in one form or another. We also know, and the text mentions, that to receive these gifts, we must simply ask. Why do we have to ask? Asking is not just a way to have us jumping through hoops. We initially go there because we're so used to the conditions of ego. But this asking is from spirit, and spirit is unconditional. This asking is literally an effect of who we are. Well, what does that mean? Well, who we are children of God. And having to ask means it must be our will to receive these gifts. We have a choice to receive them or not. And when we ask to receive them, that is our way of letting Spirit know it's our will to have them. And if we don't, Spirit must assume it isn't our will. Spirit never goes against our will. And as children of God, when we ask for something, we will receive it. No questions asked, no fine print, no strings attached. Paragraph 6. It says here, our will is the only force, worthy enough or strong enough to guide us. When we are guided with our will, we are as free as God. And when following our will, we remain free forever. The Course gives us specifics here. It says, when asking, to ask our Creator in the name of Jesus, to keep us mindful of the Creator's love for His creations and our love for the Creator. This request will never be denied, because it's only asking Him from what is already His will. When we ask from love or from our knowing, he will always answer. We've been told to have no other gods before him, not as a commandment, but simply because there are none. Paragraph 7. It's never really crossed our minds to give up any and all thoughts that we've ever had that go against our knowing, truth, or gut. Any thoughts that we have that go against our truth cannot be love thoughts. And if our thoughts aren't coming from love, then they could only come from lack of love or fear. We have billions of these little fear thoughts tucked in our mind. I love what the Course calls them, scraps of fear. It just makes it sound like if I were to gather up all these little scraps into my hand, with just a breath, I could blow them into oblivion. I love the power in that image. These little scraps are what's preventing the Holy One from entering. That which is us, the true us, the part connected directly to God, and to the knowledge of the will we all share, which is ours and His. This part is not able to enter into our awareness. We've desired a space where we could forget about our connection, our greatness, our holiness. So ego shows up as our illusion contractor, and we intentionally build these walls so that we can forget. Because of our desire or thought to hide from our truth, we no longer see our light. And because of who we are, it will never deny our desire, and it won't shine through the walls that we've built to block it. Now, this is where Jesus steps in. No one can see through a wall, but because of where he is, he can step around it. But we're unable to ask him to step around our wall if our mind is littered with these little scraps of fear. So in order for us to communicate with Jesus, we have to clean them out as soon as we become aware of them. We can only be helped to the degree that we are willing to be helped. This is just the nature of our design. Our Creator made it so that nothing can go against our free will. So Jesus can only help us to the degree in which we allow him to. We do this when we are ready. There are no stresses about time or hurrying to be holy or in our truth because there is no time. We are holy and our truth has never left us. For this reason, Jesus waits patiently for us to call on him because he knows that we will ultimately resurrect our holiness and truth. And when we do, and we call on him, he will be there to answer every single time we ask for him. Paragraph 8. Our first step is to ask. Second step is to look at what we're asking for. When we're asking, the Course urges us to really look at what it is that we're actually asking for. And third is to be honest with ourselves when we answer. Because the whole goal here is to hide nothing by bringing everything into the light of truth. These steps will begin the process of allowing the Holy One to occupy our mind once again. Now, in reading this section of the text, I ask myself, who or what the heck is the Holy One? And we touched on this some in paragraph 7, but to go deeper, I took from what we've gathered so far in the Course and came up with a description that I feel will continue to grow and evolve as we awaken our truths moving forward. The Holy One could be said to be the true us, our higher self. This is what Jesus is able to help us prepare for. Because once the Holy One has moved into his kingdom, or our true self takes its rightful seat as the contractor of our mind, then with Jesus, we will make over the minds of others. Our mind is the home God has made for us. It is our kingdom. It is the home of the part of us that is the Creator himself. Paragraph 9. When I read through paragraph 9, I instantly thought of the scene from The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy finally finds out how to get home. Well, I found that clip, and I'll play it for you here.
Oh, will you help me? Can you help me?
You don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
I have.
Then why didn't you tell her before?
Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself.
What have you learned, Dorothy?
Well, I think that it wasn't enough just to want to see Uncle Henry and Auntie Em. And it's that if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. Because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with. Is that right?
That's all it is.
But that's so easy. I should have thought of it for you.
I should have felt it in my heart.
No, she had to find it out for herself. Now those magic slippers will take you home in 2 seconds.
The fact is, just like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, we have the same answers on getting home already within us. The ego, like the Wicked Witch, tries to keep us from our power to get home, and for obvious reasons. It wants the power for itself so that it can continue to rule ego's world with the power we hold. And we find that the answer to getting home is simply this: our mind. Our mind, with just the desire to return home, brings us home in an instant. Because the truth is, we never left. We've only dreamed we've left. Ego can only exist in the dream, so ego is terrified of us waking, because for us to wake up means no ego. In the dream, to have is not the same as to be. In The Wizard of Oz, they all sought out after something that they believed was outside of themselves, like a heart, a brain, or to be brave. So the wizard gives them these things through belief. Their belief in now having them was possible by giving them something physical to represent the things that they thought that they were missing. In spirit, to have and to be are the same. The lion, Tin Man, and Scarecrow all had and were the things that they sought. Glinda the Good Witch tells Dorothy not only did she have the way home, but Dorothy herself was the way home, and that she wouldn't have believed her if she would have told her before she was ready. She had to figure it out on her own. There isn't anything that we lack. We have and are everything that we need. The Course says the Holy Spirit knows that we both have everything and are everything. The idea of getting means we lack what we seek, but only if we believe in the idea of getting. The Course tells us to make no mistake between having the kingdom of God and being the kingdom of God. Paragraph 10. The kingdom of God is the same as being conscious in the right mind. It's being awake in our Christ consciousness. But ego does not want us to know this. So just like the Wicked Witch in the Oz story, the ego tries to keep this knowledge from us by whatever means necessary, denying us access to this part of our mind now ruled by ego. Ego's job is no easier whether we're awake or not. Think about how much effort we have and continue to put into protecting ego. Now compare that to how much effort, practice, and work we put into protecting our right mind. I mean, isn't it crazy to think of how much effort goes into keeping us asleep and from returning home? That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love to share them with you. My intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. And until next time, keep shining.